You know, over the last 8 weeks or so, I've collected 12 A4 pages of notes and texts and verses and examples. But you'd be glad to know I've only got 4. Finding shalom through the Holy Spirit. Shalom, mostly, is known as peace. Shalom is a Hebrew word and can mean peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, soundness, success, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. And it can mean hello and goodbye. My word, what a word that is. That word shalom completes and sort of puts within us how tremendous God is by giving us a word like that and can mean so much. And it can be ours. Actually, shalom is applicable to an external peace between two entities, such as individuals or nations. Moody Bible Institute in 1988, the journal reported this incredible statistic. Since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been at peace 8% of that time. In its study, the journal discovered that out of 3,530 years of recorded history, the world has only seen 286 years of peace. Moreover, over 8,000 peace treaties have been drawn up and broken. Shalom means an internal sense of peace within the individual. Such peace is spiritual well-being and is the associate of righteousness and truth. In 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. On the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to stay with him so that he could be of comfort and help for him and assistance. Nicholas declined. He replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly that night as any other time in his life, because he knew the peace of God and he could rest in the strength of God's everlasting arms to meet his need. You know, so can we. We're not going to be burnt at the stake, but we can know that peace and serenity, and we can sleep well because of that. When I was a youngster in North Somerset, it was quite often said, there is no peace for the wicked. And I thought, I wonder if this is a verse of scripture. So I looked it up and found, indeed, it is Isaiah 48:22. There's no peace for the wicked. Sinful man, Mark's going to look it up, look.
I want to see it.
48:22. He needs his glasses.
There is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord.
There we are. Sinful man cannot know peace or shalom. Many try to find peace with psychotherapy. There are thousands of self-help books to try and find peace and wholeness. Dale Carnegie, which I'd never heard of, anyway, knew the technique of positive thinking and self-confidence. He could even teach people to overcome worry and anxiety. But in the end, peace eluded him and he committed suicide. Now, what a strange thing. And that was reported by Jerry McCant. In a world filled with causes for worry and anxiety, we need something tougher and more powerful than positive thinking or even possibility thinking. We need the peace, the shalom of God to stand guard over our hearts and minds. But sinful man is stumped until he finds Jesus Christ and Jesus comes into his life to be his Lord and his Saviour, and he knows that his sins are forgiven. And knowing Jesus as Lord and Saviour, then the peace of God is our portion. Peace within the heart of a new Christian and older Christians is just one part of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is from Galatians 5:22, and I'm sure that we can all possibly recite what they are. And they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits produce Christian character and are produced by the Holy Spirit, not by self-effort. These fruits in the life of a Christian are to make us more like Christ, little by little. I don't think there are many that have achieved that goal, because we're still sinners, although we're saved. And I will say it again, they're worked out in us by the Holy Spirit, not by self-effort. They produce Christian character and are not just moral or legal correctness, but the possession and manifestation of 9 graces. Love, joy, peace is character to the inward state of me and you. Patience, kindness, goodness is character expressed towards everyone else, to mankind. And faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is character and expression towards God. Now, I've got to thank Scofield for that, not me. This is the beginning of the new creation. Old things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And this is produced shalom by the Holy Spirit. Now, Danny has already mentioned that Jesus, on the day of his resurrection, he appeared to Mary in the garden. And that evening, we read in John 20, verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, they, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this had never dawned on me till I read this scripture, getting ready for this sermon this morning, that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And I believe they received the Holy Spirit. But when we read in Acts 1, verses 4 to 6, On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with his disciples, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The first part of our scripture this morning is Acts 2:1-4. And this is how it reads: "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The disciples received the Holy Spirit 40 days plus before Pentecost. And I believe this is a pattern. The moment we are saved, born again, converted, redeemed, we receive the Holy Spirit. This pattern is the same experience of everyone I know who has been baptized in the Spirit. They get saved and, of course, receive the Holy Spirit. And later, they receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then, they become conscious of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, these are written for us to see from 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11. And they are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit, and there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. These gifts are for the glory of God and for the common good, for the building and encouraging of the church. As we see in the second part of our reading for this morning, it's Acts 2:36-41. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message and were baptized, were about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The disciples, 40 days plus before Pentecost, they were locked in their rooms because of fear of the Jews. But by being baptized in the Holy Spirit, they received power and courage and ability to speak the good news of the gospel with conviction. The Holy Spirit convicted the people, and 3,000 people repented and were baptized and added to their number. This is a demonstration, I believe, of what the Holy Spirit does when he comes in power within the lives of those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. What I've been speaking about this morning is finding shalom through the Holy Spirit and the blessings and benefits that come along with shalom. We've sensed a bit of what this word shalom means and what it can mean for each one of us, because those words are terrific, administered by the Holy Spirit within each of our lives.